Creasy is Creepy. I'm Topher Graham.
I'm Ariel Hansen.
And what have we got today, Ariel?
Well, today we've got... I'm sorry, but it's a murder, but it's also a ghost. So I guess it doesn't count as being just a murder episode.
It's a haunting.
Yeah, it's a haunting. It's a haunting with more information about the backstory than the actual haunting. So, shall we just jump right into it?
Might as well.
Yeah. This is the tragic tale of Bishop Charles John Seegers.
Bishop. So, we're talking church.
Yeah. Specifically, Catholic Church.
Oh.
He's a Jesuit.
I went to Catholic school. I know a fair amount about Catholic lore.
Oh, boy.
But what time period are we...
Oh, that was a typo. But so he was born in Belgium on December 27th, 1839. That's where the typo is. It's 18, not 19.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Specifically Ghent, Belgium. He then attended school at the Jesuit High School of St. Barbe in Ghent and the American College in Louvain. Then eventually he was ordained a priest in May 1863 in Mechelen, Belgium.
Awesome.
Yeah. So he did all of his studying in Belgium. The American College was like this college established by an American Jesuit or something who's like, we need more missionaries. Let's in teach Belgium? You English. Or he came from North America to Belgium and was like, let's teach you English so you can be missionaries and let's spread Catholicness.
Ew. Gross.
We apologize to any of our Catholic fans.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. You went to Catholic school, so you might have some unpleasant memories.
I have some unpleasant memories. But that's neither here nor there. So we're in Belgium.
Well, we're about to leave Belgium.
Thank God.
What do you have against Belgium?
Nothing, but this isn't Belgium is creepy. I wanna...
True. So yeah, he was ordained priest in May 1863 in Mechelen, Belgium. Then he came to BC.
Yeah,
and eventually he was appointed the Bishop of Vancouver Island on the 29th of June in 1873.
We were just there.
Yeah, we were.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's where most of this is, or parts of this.
Excellent.
Parts? Yeah, parts.
All right, so I've got a pretty good idea of what that looks like, although not in 1873. But I mean, it's probably similar.
So he liked doing, you know, the missionary, because he'd just, like, go off on missions from the island to the interior and a lot to, like, the interior of Alaska and the Yukon. So he was doing that, and then the Pope was like, hey, you're gonna go to Oregon for a while? And he was like, no!
Why?
And then he got sent to Idaho for a while, and then he somehow came up with a scheme to get the Pope to send him back to Vancouver Island.
What kind of scheme?
I think he just, like, quit and was like, but I'll stay on if you let me go here. And the person who had been in charge of Vancouver Island when he'd been sent away happened to have died, and the person who would have been their successor didn't want to.
So we're talking about, like, a timely extortion.
Exactly. Exactly. All
right. I like it.
Yeah. So he came back to Victoria, and he was able to continue all of his missionary work that he so much loved. He did a lot of it, and he went to Alaska 5 times. He established missions in Juneau and Sitka. Then came one fateful mission. In 1886, he set out on a mission to Alaska, and, well, little did he know this would be his last mission.
Dun dun.
Dun! So he left from Esquimalt with 3 other people. He had 2 priests with him, as well as an assistant whose name was Francis Fuller. Their goal was to reach this village called Nulato before a Protestant mission did, so there was, like, some Protestant missionaries also doing the same, going to the same area. So
I
they
like
wanted...
it. It's like Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
But for your soul. Immortal Kombat.
That should be a video game. Okay. Yeah, so they basically wanted to get to this village before the vile scourge of Protestantism could get there. or like the plague of Protestantism is like
they're gonna worship our saints.
They're Anglicans too, so it's like there's a lot of similarities.
Yeah,
it's a bit different from being the Lutheran kind of Protestantism. Anglicans still name their churches after saints.
Yeah, they just don't pray to the saints.
Yeah, don't worship them as minor deities.
My grandparents on my mom's side were both Anglican priests. Ah. So I'm going to root for them and imagine that it's my grandparents that are onward to Alaska.
Okay, so the group traveled by boat to Juneau, Alaska, and while they were there, they added another person to their party by the name of Antoine Prevost, who helped as both a guide and a cook, and they headed inland towards the Yukon River through the Chilkoot Pass. So it was a hazardous and like exhausting trip that took almost 2 months. So they were doing this trip from the 13th of July until the 7th of September, 1886.
So 1886, are we talking like horseback, carriage,
sledding? We're talking like a canoe because they're on river.
Oh.
And also some sledding. Okay. There's some sledding.
That would take 2 months. That's quite the trek.
Yeah. So in September, they reached the confluence of the Yukon and Stewart Rivers. That's when they headed north down the Yukon River and into central Alaska. It took me a really long time to figure out, to understand that sentence, headed north down the Yukon. I'm like, north is up, not down. What? It's because they're talking about the river, not the territory.
Down the river, but up the country.
Yeah, exactly. So then they headed into central Alaska. So during that leg of the journey, Fuller was starting to exhibit some very strange behaviors. He'd been a bit peculiar even before they had left.
Is it demonic possession? Squamble? I hope it's demonic possession. Is it demonic possession?
It's maybe. It's probably schizophrenia.
Oh.
It's probably paranoid schizophrenia. That's I didn't include that in my notes, but that's like a few things were like, if he were nowadays, he likely would have been diagnosed with this.
But since it was back then, we could just
They just think he's weird at this point.
Okay. He's just a little odd.
Yeah. Yeah. Although there were people who were like, don't bring him with you. He's weird. Like that kind of odd.
It might be a little odd after like 2 months of canoeing and sledding.
Oh, he was odd before that.
Oh.
We'll keep going though. So he started to exhibit like worse symptoms. He was hearing voices and he was convinced that the people he was traveling with were planning to kill him.
I see.
Yeah. So then partway through the journey, Provost disappeared.
Okay. So he's got these voices. They're telling him that his friends are going to kill him, and then he disappears.
No, that's not the one who disappears. Fuller is the one hearing voices.
Oh.
Provost is the guide that they met up with in Juneau.
So their new buddy disappears.
Yeah, and everyone assumed that he was just, like, tired of putting up with Fuller and his craziness and just left. But after what happens later came to light, there's now speculation that he could have been the first victim of foul play on this ill-fated trip. Because he just disappeared without a trace.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So, both of the priests were constantly saying to Bishop Seegers, like, we should send this guy home. Fuller is, like, he's really worrying us. Like, he's a hazard on this trip. And eventually he just got tired of all their complaining. And so Seegers decided to send them on a side mission.
Oh.
While he and Fuller raced up to Naluto to beat the Protestant counterparts there.
So now they're splitting ways.
Yeah. And so they did like part of the journey and then they met up with some First Nations guides who helped them for the rest of the journey. Now, Seegers was totally ignoring all of the warnings that his buddies were giving him.
Yeah.
Even caused like rifts in the group where the priests all started to hate each other because they didn't agree about this Fuller guy.
Oh,
and
no.
So Seegers like believed that he could control Fuller even though the other priests were protesting about it before they parted ways. Seegers was wrong. And we can tell that from a few of the entries he did in his diary. So
acting time. Yes.
I don't know if these are just summaries or if these are the actual entries. If so, he's not very creative. Was
from Belgium. It would have been his second language.
Okay. Okay, then I will try to do a French accent.
Yay!
October 21st, Fuller accuses the bishop of trying to ruin him. November 12th, Fuller accuses the bishop of refusing to teach him Russian. November 24th, Fuller accuses the bishop of wishing him dead. I don't know what accent I was doing by the end of that.
That was a little bit of Russian.
Yeah, I think that word just...
triggered it.
Yeah. So, the bishop's last entry in his journal noted that Fuller, in his raving, said a traitor had predicted the bishop would give him a bad name.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And also, who knows if this traitor is real?
We don't.
Because, yeah, this guy's been hallucinating and stuff.
Possessed by demons.
October. So, finally, the fateful morning of November 28th, 1886 arrived.
Ooh.
That morning, Fuller had taken the bishop's gun, and then he shot him dead in front of the two guides. Now, the guides immediately disarmed him and took Fuller to the nearest village.
Where's that?
They got there within the day.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, you'd think that, like, he'd be immediately incarcerated, but yeah, that didn't
he
really
happen. He murdered two people in cold blood.
Only one at the time. Remember, okay. They thought that the other guy just disappeared. No one actually knows if he murdered him or not. That's just speculation nowadays, right. Having seen everything. So instead of him getting incarcerated right away, he was like just spending winter in the village. But it was very quick, like very quickly, they sent him to a different village because apparently he was scaring two of the white ladies in the village.
Oh no.
So they were like, get him away! And they did. So he was just in this other village all spring before any trial or all winter before any trial happened. So no one actually told the other priests who had been on this mission what had happened to Seegers until that spring.
That seems like a massive oversight.
Yep. So, they didn't know. And that, like, nothing really elaborated on that much. But also, so they kept his body around all winter, I guess. And then they buried him in Alaska. But then they exhumed him and sent his body to Victoria in 1888.
To get reburied? Or... Yep. Okay.
Yeah, so then he might have been put in a crypt kind of thing rather than buried, but apparently it's like...
So like a mausoleum.
Yeah, and apparently it's an ebony coffin, and he was put with like two other bishops.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
You think he's still there?
Yeah.
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 Yeah, why not? So, finally Fuller got sentenced, and the jury found him guilty of manslaughter. So then he was sentenced to 10 years of hard labor and fined $1,000.
Okay.
And apparently he got out after like 8 or something and then went to Portland and died.
He's a priest, you know.
No, he's not.
No.
He's the assistant.
Guy.
Who kills the priest.
Yes.
Or kills the bishop, yeah. So he apparently like went to Portland or something after that and then died in a violent argument with his neighbor.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's how Seegers died. Now we got a bit more information to get into the world of the haunting.
The ghosts.
Yes. So, it is said that Seegers haunts the St. Andrew's Cathedral in Victoria, which is where he was buried, although it wasn't built yet when he was a priest there, I do believe. So it's kind of funny.
But it's in that location where he was...
It was in Victoria.
Yeah.
So his ghost is said to haunt there, and his ghostly visage is said to appear to have like an exposed skull instead of a face.
Cool. Oh man, that's cool.
Yeah, and I saw two different stories on this because one thing I read said that his face was, while nibbled on mice a little bit, was very recognizable still. Another one said that even though his body was well preserved, his face was like unrecognizable. So,
you know, maybe the mice just ate his face over time.
Well, this is by the time he got back to Victoria, so there was two different opinions.
No, I mean, like, as a ghost. Maybe one, he had the face, and then a little bit later, his face just, like, ghostly deteriorated.
Okay, I'm talking about the corpse right now.
Oh.
Not that these are two different people saying about the ghost. So this is, like, when his corpse was brought back to Victoria.
Ah.
One of my sources said that it was easily recognized. The other one said it was completely unrecognizable.
I see.
Yeah. So there's a bit of debate as to, like, the one that said he was recognizable was all like, well, you know, if his face was recognizable, then why would his ghost have a skull face? The only reason could be that they want to induce fear.
Yeah.
Yes, be spooky.
That's their job.
Is it a ghost's job?
Well,
do they even have a job?
I mean,
they can kind of do whatever they want.
Okay, so maybe it's more of a hobby.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it kind of doesn't make sense since he was said to be, like, a nice priest.
Yeah.
Although maybe everyone's got their dark secrets.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, sightings of the ghost are reported as far back as the 1890s. So, like, literally 2 years after he was buried.
Nice.
Yeah. And so, like, his ghost was so well known that a murder happened at the cathedral.
And they blamed him?
So, Lawrence Whalen had shot David Fee in the cathedral, and David Fee, like, died within moments. So, a part of the defense's defense was that his fear of ghosts contributed to him shooting Mr. Fee, because Mr. Fee was wearing, like, an all-white jacket.
Spooky.
Yeah, and this was also on Christmas Eve.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so everyone was getting out from, like, the midnight mass of Christmas. And then this guy got shot. Yeah. And now he's a ghost, too.
Hey!
Yeah, so he...
Do you think they, like, hang out?
Maybe. Maybe.
I mean, if you're, like, the one ghost in the place and you've got, like, another ghost, you probably want to make friends or else, like... You know?
Yeah.
Or else you're just, like, hanging around looking at him like, oh, that idiot.
Yeah. So, now you keep saying demonic possession, and that's actually one of the sources threw that out as a theory.
Yeah.
So...
Demonic possession. Totally plausible.
So, he said that there's some people who theorize that either, like, a demon or a dark entity that was attached to Fuller and, like... was causing the hallucinations and everything that led to him killing Seegers, then, like, attached itself to Seegers' corpse and followed it back to Victoria. And so it's not actually Seegers' ghost that people see, but this demon,
faceless
dark entity.
Demon.
And that's, like, their reasoning for why he appears with a skull for a face. The skull-faced bishop!
Sounds plausible to me.
I think the guy was just schizophrenic.
That's what they all said.
They didn't say it back then.
No, but that's what they say about all the people back then, without actually investigating.
Well, how can you investigate?
You can't.
Ah! Fine, I'll just go to sources now. Okay, so I had, I think, 5 sources for this one.
Wicked.
Yeah. None of them were super long, so that's why this isn't crazy long like my last episode.
Some of these ones, like, you don't have a lot of information. And
yeah.
A lot of times you'll get, like, people who have copied and pasted from other sources, like, quite a bit.
I was lucky this wasn't a copy-paste case. This ain't no creepypasta.
Yeah, good.
So, my first source was actually where I found out about this in the first place, and it's a book that my mom gave us when we were in Victoria. Yeah, so my mom, she listens to our podcast, obviously, and she heard me talking about how that one book, it was mostly made up stories that the author even said that they made up. So she got us a better haunting book.
It looks really cool.
It is so much better, and it gives a decent amount of detail for each of the stories. Like,
awesome.
Yeah, so that also means I actually read a book.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't read the whole book. I just read, like, one chapter.
Okay, but we'll get through it.
Yeah, we'll get through it eventually. It gives us, like, so many more topics. Oh, my God. That book is called The Haunting of Vancouver Island by Shannon Sin.
It's got a really cool cover.
Yeah, and also this dude has a really cool last name for writing about hauntings.
What is it?
Sin.
Sin.
Yeah. So yeah, if you want that book, you can find it at the Royal British Columbia Museum gift shop.
Yeah.
Yep. And then, of course, Wikipedia, as always, Wikipedia.
It's crowdsourced. It's a great resource.
Surprisingly.
Yeah.
Except when it says that there's this one celebrity who for a while, his Wikipedia page, like under occupations, it listed like actor, whatever, whatever, Velociraptor. Didn't get taken down for a while.
Crowdsourced.
Yeah. Another source was Yukon News. Then there was also Vancouver Daily World, which was a newspaper article from 1888. So this, I guess this was a newspaper back then. And so there was an article about him in 1888 when his corpse was returned to Victoria. And I found that on explorenorth.com.
Nice.
So they'd like, they'd
transcribe
the whole article.
That's great.
Onto the site. So that was really cool. You guys are cool for doing that, explorenorth.com. And then also the Dictionary of Canadian Biography.
Oh, wicked.
Yeah, the only one that really talks about the haunting is the first one. Everything else just gave me details about the murder. So that's why the murder part's the meatier part.
Yeah.
Like, you can corroborate facts for that.
Easier.
Yeah.
It's not really facts when you're talking about hauntings and churches.
Yes! Yes.
But.
We are a facts-based podcast.
Yeah.
Research. Facts.
But, you know, eyewitnesses count as evidence.
Even though eyewitness testimony is, you never want to convict someone on that.
I'm not convicting them. I'm talking about them on a podcast.
True. Fine. Eyewitness testimony is a form of evidence.
Yeah.
Even though people's memories are very faulty.
But
they play tricks on them.
They all said it was the skull face, right?
They didn't really list people who'd seen it. That's just what they said. But yes.
Yes.
We'll just say yes.
Yeah.
Also, apparently, David Fee's ghost appears in a white jacket with, like, red pom-poms on it.
I'm not a ghost.
Don't shoot! Don't shoot! Yeah, with that part, the prosecutors were actually arguing that the dude was mad about, like, an Irish flag getting taken down off of the church, and so he actually was planning on shooting someone else and mistook David Fee for that dude. The dude who took the flag down.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, but either way, people died, and now there's ghosts, allegedly, in a church. Who knows? It's old. People probably just get creeped out. But yeah, possibly a demon, who knows?
Yeah, a skull-faced demon possessed a dude, and he killed some people, and now he's haunting a church.
And then he pulled the trigger for the dude in the church. That was also a later part of the guy's, like, defense. Was, the ghost pulled the trigger.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that too.
Yeah.
Anything to get you out of trouble, right?
Yeah.
That was a great story.
Oh, good. I'm glad you liked it.
All right. Okay. So, we're Bad Cookie Pictures. If you have any more cool BC stories for us, send it our way at
badcookiepictures@gmail.com.
We're also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest.
I still can't believe we actually did that.
It's for you guys. For
it's
you
all
guys.
For you. It's all for you, Damien.
We've also got a Patreon.
Yes, we've got our Patreon.
You can see our new video.
We're going to do a better one eventually.
Yeah.
But to give people inspiration to join the Patreon.
We rallied up our whole two people.
Yep.
And we talked in front of a camera for...
Operated by our third person.
Yeah, for like, what, 30 seconds?
It's a 2-minute video.
For 2 minutes.
And I cut it down from 3 minutes of us talking.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you can check that out.
And if you're feeling really adventurous, we just released a new VR video online.
Yeah, if you have any form of a headset, like a Google Cardboard or a Samsung Gear or an Oculus, I don't know how you get it onto the Oculus, but
And you can actually use your mouse and scroll along too.
You can
not as cool.
No.
But I mean, you'll still get like the ASMR tingles and the.
Also, if you watch it like on your phone or on your iPad, and it's got like a gyro or whatever that can.
Gyroscope.
Yeah, that can, if it can tell like its position when you go into full screen, then you can hold it up and kind of look around more like it's a headset without having a headset on.
Yeah.
That is called Relaxing Rituals ASMR.
And it's on our YouTube page.
Yeah.
So check that out.
Also, you could always subscribe because
We do post like cool stuff there.
Actually, you might be listening to this on our YouTube channel because we post our podcast on YouTube as well, because not everyone has Spotify, Google Play, or iTunes, which are the three main places we post our podcast.
As well as some third parties who have seemed to have found our podcast.
Yeah, I don't know how.
Posted it. But you know what? It's cool. As long as people are listening, I am happy.
Yeah.
So you guys, thank you guys.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm on things as at Hanson's Horror.
And you can find my Instagram at Sneezing Wolf.
Yeah. Is there anything else we should talk about before we bid them adieu?
I don't think. When is this coming out?
Not this week, but next week.
So if you're in Edmonton, you can drop by. Wait.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can drop by City Center Mall on September 30th at 11:30, where.
In the morning.
In the morning, where we will be having our world premiere of The Devil and I.
Yeah, we will be in attendance.
We're going to be there. It's going to be really cool. Come say hi.
You know? So if you live in Edmonton and enjoy laughing at how creepy British Columbia is and being like, ha, we don't live there, good, it's too creepy, then you can be watching us in person as we watch us on the screen.
You can watch our film about BC. And how creepy it is.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Inspired by
BC's creepiness.
And
some other creepy
story from England.
I know. But it's a great story.
Yeah, yeah. All right. I think we've rambled on long enough here in our
post section. All right. Well, thank you for tuning in.
Yeah, thanks for tuning in. And stay creepy.